Hi, welcome to another episode. This is Noreen.
This is Amanda.
And together we are
Love Isn't
Where the You Is For You.
Just we're here just to encourage you to be selfish.
Allegedly. So in this episode, we thought we should go through what our podcast is going to be about. So Amanda, why Love Isn't?
That is such a heavy question. I wasn't prepared for that. Because I feel like there's so much so many books written about what love is, and there's not much conversation on what love isn't. But also, like, how do we prioritize loving ourselves, and what does that even look like? Because most of the time when you put yourself first or you say, I love myself, you're looked at as selfish.
Okay, so hence why the love is spelled with a U instead of the O, which traditionally means what?
Infinity?
The infinity of love. The infinity of love. Okay, so as we said, we are here to have those raw, vulnerable conversations just about different things, and I guess a little bit about the inception of our podcast. A little bit about that. Well, there were a few names thrown around at the beginning, and some of them were Mother, I'm sorry.
Forever apologizing.
Yes, well, probably because there's going to be a lot of talk about our mothers in this podcast, not in a bad way, but in just how they've influenced us and how they've had an impact in our lives. And then the other one was, I don't check my voicemail.
Who does?
Like, technically, I have one of those that it, like, reads them out for me or, like, a text.
Oh, yeah, and then, yeah. I used to have that. I can't afford it anymore, but, like,
let's not talk about that. The next one was, so you have a career, which is a play on so much things that have happened in the duration of our friendship, which is what? Oh, my God.
More than 10 years, I would
more
say.
More than 10 years. Like, yeah. Let's not date ourselves, but we met when we were
young. Let's not show our age.
Not young. I won't even say when we met.
Stop. Okay. We were in high school.
That's we still didn't date us.
Yeah, but we didn't like each other then, so that's a whole other thing.
Okay, true. I had nothing against her. I was just indifferent, okay? But she had her own misconceptions that she was holding on to.
I don't know what that means.
Well, we can unpack those.
I'm here.
We can unpack those as we go, but she also used to be a dancer, but just throwing and selling her out in this whole situation.
I am a whole grown up. I have left that life behind. Okay? I remember that. I refuse to remember that.
Too bad I don't have pictures. Too bad I don't have pictures.
There's not one video, one picture, nothing. There's no proof.
There's no proof.
So technically, did it happen? Did it happen? It didn't.
So if the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it didn't happen.
It didn't.
But my memory is real, though. I have it.
Your memories are valid, sis.
Thank you. Because they have to be. So I guess we kind of started thinking about this podcast a while ago.
Too long
before we even made it. And then we've been writing down topics that we wanted to explore. And we're not saying this as we, how do we call this?
Experts.
Yeah, but also we are not the holders of any of these topics. People have talked about them before. They've had different discussions about them. We're just bringing a different perspective. We hope that hasn't been on the table so that we can continue this dialogue into life and lived experiences. One of the topics that we've been wanting to talk about, and I'll try not to say love isn't whatever the topic is, but to some extent, that's how they were thought of, okay? So, why does Black love have so many conditions? I know. It is the first one. I'm just reading them in order.
Speak on it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
So this comes from like experience dating to some extent and recognizing that each time you want to be in a relationship or you're in a relationship with someone, if you are both black, there's so many conditions that come with it and all these lovely expectations that if that person was to be in a relationship with Becky. A Muzungu.
Becky? Becky, they say Becky is it. Is, what is it? It's like the N-word for white people.
Oh, it is now. What about Karen?
Becky, Karen,
mm-hmm.
them names.
Okay.
Apparently, they're like equivalent to N-word for white women.
Oh, really? I said Muzungu.
I say what I said.
Okay, for the Swahili speaking people out there, they would know what it means. So, yeah, the Muzungus, it's different. To an extent that we had a conversation where someone went down and gave us like the criteria.
Oh, yes.
Like age, height,
when you, yeah.
education status. But then when he was asked how when dating Becky, she just needed to have black hair.
And boobs.
And, oh, yeah. And blue eyes or something. Yeah. Like, that was it.
Something ridiculous.
Like, that was like, it. That was
when
it.
You're black, you have to have a degree. You have to have a certain weight on mm-hmm. you. All these things. I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Date yourself then. Find yourself a Mzungu then. Like,
and that kind of leads us to another topic. And we're not going to put this in order, but hopefully we can keep track of that ourselves. It is policing of our bodies.
Ooh.
And... do you want to speak on that for a little bit?
So, I feel, notice how I said I feel, because, you know.
Feelings are real, but they're not facts.
Black women, and especially black children, are so hypersexualized at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why. Like, it's like, why do we do that to our children when they are so young?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that you can't dress a certain way without the people around you attacking you for it, right? And mm-hmm. saying things like you asked for it when you get raped and things like that. So I think that's a topic that we need to
at least wanted to explore.
Yeah
Well, and I think part of the policing of our bodies doesn't even have to be from the external, like even as an individual you're constantly thinking about that because we've internalized those things that sometimes they don't even have to be said. And this is touching on growing up as a African Zimbabwean child being told what it is to be a female and how to dress, but also how to behave, because somehow my ankles are just too sexy for the world. Like, they just...
you can't show them.
You cannot show nothing.
Because men can't control themselves when they see the toes.
Like, their toes. But we will go into that more as we get along. And then we have... this is a question. Is your desired partner also ideal for your kids?
Man.
I know. So we talk so much about who's my type. Are you your type's type?
Oh.
But also, is that person going to be ideal for your kids?
I always laugh, though, because I think most of us as women, we don't think about that. Mm-hmm. In my experience, for the women I've talked to, anyways. Mm-hmm. But the men I've talked to have always said, when they
the
look
mother
at,
of yeah, my children.
The mother of my children.
Like, has she to will be
make,
able, yeah.
Yeah, she will make a good mother. Mm-hmm. Yet, women never think about, oh, he will make a good father. Like...
isn't it enough that he's a provider?
That's a whole other conversation.
But I think that's the part where we're also trying to problematize that statement in itself to say, is it enough for someone to just be a partner? Yeah. Right? Like, also parenting tends to fall on just the mothers.
In most cases. Yeah.
Rather than the men being also part of that process, which we think is very important for them to be included in that. The people we love versus the people we can do the day-to-day with. This one touches home for me. Like, this one touches home.
Speak on it. Speak on it.
Well, the part where you are in love with someone and you guys can get on with it, but when it comes to, like, building a life together, you cannot. I always think about Jada's statement that there's some people that you can love, but love them from a distance, versus the ones that you are actually like doing life with. Yeah,
that's true.
Like,
I was talking to somebody, I was like, I think relationships are like 80% practicality.
Mm.
Even if not 90, was like, can we make it work? Can we be able to coexist, you know, in a way? And then there's like maybe 20 or 15% romance in that.
So then, I don't know if this is a topic on its own or part and nuance of that. So why don't we marry our friends then?
Because we're not sexually attracted to our friends. This is a whole thing.
So we need that 20% or 10% to exist in order to have the rest of the marriage, but also at the same time.
It's too much to ask for. I'm away.
Okay.
I'm aware of this.
Okay, so clearly these conversations are going to go in so many ways. But also part of that is there's so much emphasis within our culture. I mean, I don't think I can go a day on my Instagram feed where there isn't a picture of a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's this emphasis of wedding versus like marriage. I know people are starting to have more and more of those conversations where we talk about the wedding day just being a day, whereas the marriage is a lifetime commitment. And I guess we're wanting to explore that.
Yeah, but also like I feel like there is never an, not, I'm not going to say encouragement, but a way of saying if you're single, you're okay.
Okay.
A lot of it is always like, you're going to find somebody.
So when?
Mm-hmm. You're going to find, when you find somebody, it's like, why do you always have to be waiting for somebody to find you or find somebody instead of just going on or carrying on at whatever place you're at that time?
John, who may or may not be a real person, John, said you need to be ready to be found. Allegedly, women are not supposed to be finding.
Did we talk about archaic things?
No? Okay. We are going to clearly explore that even further. I skipped this one. Mental health and in the Black community.
As I breathe in.
Mm-hmm.
I think though we're coming a little bit. We are starting to
have a shift.
Yeah, have a shift on the understanding of mental health and how it affects us as individuals.
We still have a long way to go.
We still have a long way to go. And I feel like women are coming to terms with it faster than men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're not at the same place as we were 10 years ago when it comes to mental health.
Mm. And how are we defining mental health? Because my understanding of it is about the health aspect of things. It's not mental illness, but rather how can we maintain and continue to be healthy while taking care of both our physical and psychological well-being, rather than it being you are ostracized and put to the side of the society because you have a mental illness.
But I think a lot of the time, most of us cannot distinguish between the two, what mental health is and what mental illness is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a mental health condition or a mental illness, as you call it, most people don't understand what that is. They just put it all in under one blanket of
under mental. One thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it also comes to the fact that we've grouped a lot of traumas as mental health related. Or mental illness more than health, because they manifest themselves in a way that becomes an illness, mm-hmm. rather than recognizing that this is a trauma that can be dealt with differently. Ooh, this one is actually titled Love Isn't a Career.
Speak to my soul.
Say it.
But this one came from basically,
don't blame my mother,
but my mother had a big impact on me trying to find my purpose, as they call it, or find my career.
They argue purpose and career are not the same thing.
Well, For me, anyways, I feel like it is in my experience. And so it was like the steps it took for me to actually find a career and the things that I went through. Some of it could have been missed, could have been skipped. I could have done without it because it was very like, I feel like most of us have a timeline of, I finish high school at 18 and I go to college or I go to university. And after that, I have a career, I get married and stuff like that. And if it doesn't happen that way, we start putting ourselves down.
Or questioning why.
Yeah.
But also, I love what Michelle Obama said. We have these boxes or milestones that we've put in place that you graduate from high school, checkbox, you get into college, and then in college you pass, and then you graduate, and we're missing the experience in between those milestones.
You know what's funny? I actually never had a checkbox thing.
I live on checkbox.
I really didn't have it, but somebody else had one for me. So I had to follow somebody else's life plan for me. And although my rebelliousness was like, what are you doing?
It still was
like a sign of respect. Follow what the path they have for you. But at the end, I realized that this is why I always encourage selfishness. Putting other people first. Putting other people first can be detrimental for your mental health. Let me tell you something. English is like my fourth language. I can't.
We are not here to judge your English. If you don't get it, it's okay. Just start playing the podcast and then at some point give up. That's okay. And I think that kind of leads us to another topic, the idea of like the milestones, like the ones that are related to age, 16, 21, 25, 30, 40, 50. Wow, we're only left with two of those. Okay.
We've come a long way.
Like, after lining that up, there's only a few left. But what it means to go through those and what it entails or where you should be based on those experiences. Do you have anything to say on that?
No.
Okay.
It just makes me angry, but whatever.
Next one is funerals. And this is just a topic on its own. Like, there's no explanation. It is a full sentence. Funerals. And maybe this is the part where it shows our age, where we're at that age where we are the people that go to funerals.
I seen a tweet today that was like, literally, you live your life like accumulating people that will come to your funeral. I was that's not the truth. I don't know what it is.
Right? Like, there's no other truth beyond that.
I have to go to somebody else's funeral to make sure that they come to mine.
Although that person is technically is no longer around, but you're accumulating other people around that they have coming to their funeral. Okay, we're collecting. We're out here collecting people to show up at funerals. But there's more to it, like, especially being where we are, where we live, and the fact that the people that we grew up with don't actually exist here.
No,
right. So the funeral collection is different.
I remember where this came from because you were like, I'm the only one who's going to be at your funeral. I was like, you're probably right. But
it's true. And I feel like not only can we delve into this in the full episode itself, but guys, like, do you have that one friend that you're constantly like, let's do this? And it's not for me. Like, it isn't for me, but it's for you to accumulate your village. I cannot be the one to, like, bury you. I have to write the eulogy. I have to bury you. I have to do all the crying. Everything. I also have to remember your passwords and everything and make sure I hide all the things that no one needs to see and carry whatever I want out. Like, that's too much. That's asking too much from me.
No, I'm aware of that, but I'm also aware that I am not for everybody.
Fair enough.
You know, I cannot be. I
You're not everyone's cup of tea.
No, and as I'm growing older, I'm realizing that for me to preserve myself and to preserve my energy and to be in a good space, I cannot mingle with everybody. And so I have to choose which people I interact with and for how long.
Okay. Well, we will hear more from you about these funerals, because clearly, like I said, it's a full conversation. This one is probably one of my favorite ones. And I think this is probably one of the reasons why we're even here and having this conversation right now. The number one reason you're in therapy is because you have a mother.
I love you, mama. I was going to throw this out there.
You're just going to put it out there?
Before I say anything, I want to say I love my mother very much. Mm-hmm. She's the best mother that I could ever have. Thank you.
She's the one you have.
She's the one I have. This is why I say she's the best I could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of the time, we hear a lot of daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a lot of the things that men are failing to do for their children or are not doing properly for their children.
Mm-hmm.
They are absent and all these things. And we don't speak
enough about toxic mothers. I'm going to say it so that I save her from being the one to say it. And one, I don't see my mother listening to you. Even if she does, we can have a conversation about it and she'll be okay. She'll be okay. And then that kind of leads us to fathers. Yes. Full conversation. These are not daddy issues.
I have nothing to say about fathers.
These are not daddy issues, but they're fathers.
You know what? I feel like a lot of the time when you just can't get along with men or you have an issue with men or whatever, they call it you having daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that term is overused.
Mm, okay. Well, look out for that lovely episode where Amanda has nothing to say. So, you're still not married, sis, huh?
Okay. I felt that one in
my heart. I mean, when the shoe fits, put it on. But also, like, I put it out the way it actually gets expressed often, right? Like, it doesn't, it will hit you when you least expect it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we'll get more into that one. Loyalty, riding, but not dying.
I've really actually been thinking a lot, like, to the mm-hmm. point where I'm, like, obsessing over, like, the idea of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm realizing that most of us are selfish beings.
Okay.
So when it comes to being...
Well, you also did say you're here to be selfish.
Right? Yeah, but which is okay. I encourage, mm-hmm. I'm selfish. Like, that's, like, a thing that I do. I am. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like... Then, but also there's this expectation of you have to be a ride or die. Mm-hmm. I used to be that way, though. I am. I'm like, no, I don't want to die yet. I have so many plans.
You're writing, but you're not dying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does that play to this one that says your love is not community love, or is it? And part of it is about dating within your own culture.
Ooh. I love this topic.
She loves it so much that she has so much to say at the moment.
No, you know why I love it? Because there were people that I was listening to having a conversation about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm just going to be a fly on the wall. And they felt some type of way, these men felt mm-hmm. some type of way about their women dating outside of their community.
But it's not their women, they don't own them.
Well, yeah, the women in their culture, they say Zimbabwean women going and dating, they say Nigerian men.
Mm. Yeah.
Because apparently that's a thing. And there's so much anger and animosity towards the people that date outside of their race. So it will be an interesting topic to explore.
Oh, and we are open to having different people with perspective to come and join and have these in-depth conversations, because if you give us a mic, we're going to be talking.
Right.
So someone else that wants to come is always welcome to do so. Do I say this one or do I not? Because I think your answer is still going to be the same.
Which one?
Love isn't getting drunk in Cuba and your friend does what?
I still don't know what that means. Like, I've been asking what this topic means. I feel like I've just been listening when she talks.
So. Well, I guess to some extent is about those nice, lovely vacation stories that we have to tell.
It's funny, you put this on me when you're the one. You know what?
I was the one who got drunk.
It's okay. We got drunk.
Because okay. There's one that said love isn't black coffee.
I don't know what that means.
Right? Like, there's a metaphor to it where it's just plain black coffee, but also black coffee.
I wasn't there.
You ain't gonna feel that one. You weren't claiming it. Okay. Love isn't boldness. We are more than our hair.
Ooh.
After
watching Nipply ever after.
Fifth time?
Yeah, because I was trying to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to understand how I can love my natural hair. It just told me to go get a leaf. That was the takeaway.
I am also, like, bald with, like, blue tint on my hair, so I'm okay with my non-existent hair.
I know I love baldness. Like,
I know. The best part of it is we're always changing. When I'm bald, you are not bald. When I am not bald, you are bald. So it's like...
I feel like I never really subscribe to the idea that I am, my hair is me. Like, it was like,
mm-hmm.
I can just have this hair and I can take it off. It's not a big deal.
Oh, wow. Like, when you say that, I just remembered I was getting my nails done and this lady is trying to upsell me this product and say, oh, do this. And then my answer to her was like, they're just nails. They are going to break and they will grow. They will come back. Like, she's like, no, you need to put this. And I was like, no, they're just nails. They'll grow. They'll break and come back. And in fact, they didn't grow, but that's not the point.
You stood in your truth,
sis. I stood in my lane and it was my experience. No, they did not grow. But also, when they did grow, they didn't break. So it was my time. When it's my time, it's my time. It'll happen. I love this one.
Mm.
Love isn't black excellence. And love isn't black girl magic.
Ooh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
We have lived our lives trying to be perfect, trying mm-hmm. to achieve the highest accolades, trying to do the most. Do you know when you take off that superwoman cape and say, yes, I am black girl magic, but I don't have.
To be all strong.
To be all strong. Do you know how liberating that feels?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we live in a society that because the systems are built to work against us.
We do the most.
We usually feel like we have to do the most.
I mean, we loved Queen and Slim. Not because of like everything else, but the fact that they were having that conversation. And it reminded me of something that Kevin had said, like, why is perfectionism the new normal? Like, why is it we're not okay with people messing up? It's okay for Brittany to shave her head and then it grows back and life goes on. Like, we feel like there's no room to make mistakes anymore because everything is on Instagram, everything is on Snapchat, blah, blah, blah. But there isn't room for you to just be.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. We have a few more that maybe some of them may not even have us having to talk about them because they are like, they explain themselves. Love isn't soul ties. Love isn't just communication. Black, being black and the labels that we wear as a form of status. Okay. We're trying to get an endorsement here. But that's besides the point. Feminine health and sexuality. Tyler Perry.
My goodness. I have so many thoughts about Tyler, but...
Like, right? Know. Like, faced date horrors. Like, and then many more as we go along. But those were the ones that we had already written down. So we are looking not only for guest speakers to join us as we have those conversations.
Oh, we have one.
We
No, but we have the topic of can
females and
males be roommates?
Yeah. Or can you have a male friend that you are roommates with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Well, we look forward to having those lovely conversations. And we'll see you, thank you on the other side.
Yes, thank you for hanging out with us.
And thank you for being you.
Don't forget to be selfish.
Yeah. And this was Noreen.
And this is Amanda.
And together we are...
Love Isn't.
Love Isn't.